So thank you, Mike, for that warm welcome, and hello to all of you. A huge crowd post-lunch. I will try my best to wake you up from whatever food coma you might be in. So today we're going to talk a lot about Facebook. But first I wanted to start off with a little exercise to get us all going. And you all have to participate because, like, there's not that many of you right now. So I want everybody to take their phones or laptops out and open up Facebook, because you certainly all have Facebook. Go ahead, and I'll do it too. I have my computer right here. So I want you to scroll through your feed and just take note of how it makes you feel. All right, so I am looking at mine. I see my friend Lucy. She's planning a trip to Scotland. That's awesome for her. I am feeling very jealous. I'm feeling like I want to plan a vacation, like I need a vacation, that I deserve a vacation. Okay, so now I feel distracted and I'm moving on. Here's a meme and another ad and a Super Bowl meme and a bunch of friends at the Eagles parade. Oh, here's a food video. This one starts with one of those gooey cheese pools. It's like super unique. Now I feel a little hungry, and here's an article about politics. So this feels like a really good time to stop. So what's the point? How many of you actually feel better after looking at your Facebook feed? You guys have to participate. Anybody? Okay, so none of you. So we all have really terrible friends. The truth is, for most people, social media doesn't always make them feel good. And I'm not saying anything groundbreaking here. We see it everywhere in the news. There are actual studies that say social media, and Facebook in particular, can increase symptoms of depression and anxiety due to constant social comparison, that it exploits our insecurities, it creates feelings of inadequacy, it sets unrealistic expectations, it fosters bullying, gosh, the list goes on and on. It also makes us spend more money, it impacts our sleep, alters our appetite, thanks to all those like gooey cheese pools, increases FOMO, and it makes many of us incapable of having real person-to-person conversations, right? We're just not human anymore. But here, we all chose to build careers around it, so what does that say about us? We're insane, okay. As we all know, it is now a major initiative of Facebook to change all of this. Just a few weeks ago, they announced their big plans to change up the news feed and emphasize more meaningful posts from friends and family, or simply put, stories that matter. Facebook doesn't want us to passively consume content, even if it is really entertaining and informative. It wants us to start conversations, which sounds really great. Except that when all of us publishers and marketers heard this news, we pretty much freaked out. Why are they taking the news out of the news feed? Haven't we spent enough money on Facebook ads? Didn't we pivot to video when they told us? Like, we catered to every move that Facebook made, so why aren't they showing us the love in return? Joking aside, to those who are struggling with that what to do next question because of this algorithm change, I'd ask you this. Why aren't you creating content that you feel matters to people? It's not Facebook's job to give our content meaning. It's our job as marketers to create brands and content that people love, that brings them joy and helps them feel better, in whatever way, shape, or form that means for you and your industry. And it ultimately will make them want to share it with their friends and family, too. Facebook's new mission wants to foster that type of content. As Mark Zuckerberg says here, we feel a responsibility to make sure our services aren't just fun to use, but also good for people's well-being. So Facebook wants to bring us all closer together and build relationships. It wants us to feel better about using its platform, and it wants to make us happier and healthier humans. So to me, it sounds like Facebook is getting into the health business. And that is why I'm here today, to talk about the unique relationship between our health and Facebook, and how my team at Verywell took a new approach to sharing health information on the platform. So that said, let me tell you a little bit about Verywell. We are a digital health publisher, And as Mike mentioned, we take a more human approach to health and well-being. Our content is really accessible and friendly. It's not as clinical and scary as like WebMD. And it's presented in a modern, user-friendly design. Our content's written by experts in their fields, and it's reviewed by board-certified physicians. The Verywell voice, it's compassionate and it's credible. We pride ourselves on ensuring that users leave our site feeling confident in the next steps they take on their path to better health. More stats, we are the fourth largest site in the health and wellness category on ComScore, with more than 36,000 articles across hundreds of different topics, from medical conditions and mental health to nutrition and fitness, parenting and pregnancy. We see about 13 million unique visitors each month, and we continue to grow at a time when most of our direct competitors are not. At Verywell, our tagline is "No more, feel better." It's generally easy for us to fulfill the first part of that brand promise. I mean, we can help you know more about the key symptoms of a heart attack. We can help you know more about how your body might change when you get pregnant. We can even help you know whether that whole 30 diet that you're trying is actually a healthy choice, which, it's not. It's our brand voice that cashes in on the second part of the promise. We reassure you that wherever you are in your health journey, we can help you feel better with easy to understand information and advice. So on social, we can share that same type of content, but it doesn't always land the right way. When people are coming to our website, they're coming with intent. They need answers to their health questions or emergencies, and they need it now. When they meet us on social, unless they're experiencing like that exact need and moment at that time, it might not be the best experience. And that's unfortunately not the only challenge that we face sharing health info on Facebook. To start, it's not always the happiest information, as you can see in the lung cancer example. It's definitely not the sexiest. I mean, what your poop says about you, people search for that. Like, they really want to know what it's telling them, trust me. But it's also super personal. Like, 10 reasons your partner hasn't told you about their STD. If you're interested in STD information for whatever reason, I'm pretty sure you're also not going to like, comment, or share that on your Facebook feed, knowing that it might pop up for, you know, your aunt or your grandma. And if we're being honest, and these are all examples from Verywell here, health content is not always the most unique. Like, there are only so many authoritative ways to, like, recommend how to lose weight. So there's a little bit of like user fatigue that can go into seeing those types of articles over and over again. People don't go to their newsfeed to solve their health problems, but they do go to social media for advice, support, and inspiration. And those are things that we can offer as a brand. The health information that works well on social supports that. It's personal, but like not too personal in the STD example. And it's empowering. It's heartwarming, it's helpful. It meets you in your health journey and becomes your partner along the way. At Verywell, we didn't want to build a social strategy that relied heavily on like clickbait headlines and the same old food videos. We really wanted to help people. So the big question for us became, how can we use social to help people really feel better? It forced us to rethink how we were using social media to reach our audience. We had to take a hard look at what we were doing on our main Verywell pages, and we realized that sharing content around Alzheimer's disease alongside breastfeeding tips, it wasn't gonna help us win. It's too broad. We can't make everyone feel better in a personalized way at the same time. We needed to be more targeted, both in terms of our content and in terms of the audience. So we started to think about who our users really are. Like many of you, when we took a closer look, we realized our audiences are actually very broad. We needed to define who they were, who we wanted to go after. And then we needed to create a space that felt right for them, like it was made just for them. If we could do that, we'd see them engage with our content more. If we could do that, we could create a community as opposed to a network. And that's what I want to share now, how we went about building these communities, and how within a matter of months, we were able to support more people than any other competitor in the spaces we created. So as a health publisher, some of our most valuable content we have, both to a user and on the revenue side, thanks to all those friendly pharma advertisers that work with us, is our condition-specific content. So that's where we chose to invest in building communities first. And it makes sense to start there. Social media can be supportive. It can let people know they're not alone in whatever health challenges they're facing. And you know, we wanted to build a social product that wasn't only for scale and reach, but for engagement, like real, meaningful engagement. So we launched this Real Life With series. And we started in diabetes, thyroid disease, and breast cancer. Oops. I was supposed to have that flip through the other ones, but you see, this was what breast cancer looks like. But for the purpose of this presentation, I'm going to zero in on thyroid disease as our primary example, and just show you kind of like the process that we took and walk through it as a case study. So before we get into the nitty-gritty of that, this is just some thyroid disease 101. It's always been some of our most popular content, both through search and on social. According to the American Thyroid Association, around 20 million Americans are affected by thyroid disease, but up to 60% of them don't know it, which can sound pretty scary. With that, women are 5 to 8 times more likely than men to have issues with their thyroids. So if you take away nothing else about thyroid disease, just understand that it's conditions that can be really confusing, frustrating, difficult to navigate, depressing, life-changing, isolating. And of course, to learn more, you should visit verywell.com. when we explored this space on Facebook around thyroid disease, we saw a really huge need for a more authoritative support community, one that didn't rely heavily on memes and one that didn't solely exist so that people could complain about how thyroid disease had ruined their lives. We wanted to create a high-quality community that felt compassionate, that shares meaningful content, and keeps users at its heart. So at the end of 2016, we created the Real Life with Thyroid Disease Facebook page from zero. We did a lot of testing using Facebook ads to independently test every element of the page, like from the name to the design to the copy to the audience. We tested everything. We'd essentially set up a series of ads and just modify one variable at a time until we got this like winning combination. And from there, we invested. So this on the right is an example of like our very first winning combination. We understand you're tired of being tired. From there, we invested in the actual money we put toward audience acquisition ads, to the cleanup of older content around thyroid disease, to the development of new content, and in the time dedicated to creating and scheduling for this new social community. It didn't take long before users started to really respond, and we started to learn directly from them. We quickly realized this was working. We were making good on that social media holy grail of putting the right content in front of the right people at the right time. As I mentioned before, we always did well on search, but that same content was now translating to social traffic. So we were now meeting them at this moment of intent that I talked about earlier. By liking our page, they were showing us that intent, that they were looking for answers and support, and they were ready to ask for help. We learned that our audience definitely keeps it real. They want good, honest advice for their day-to-day, you know, from what to eat to like how to take their medication. And finally, above all else, we saw that they just want to feel like they haven't gone crazy. It's very common for someone with thyroid disease to be completely abandoned and misunderstood by even their closest friends and family. And here we are, acknowledging that their concerns are real, their questions are valid, and their feelings are understood. I know we just said we weren't focused on growing like big, massive audiences, but it doesn't mean we didn't pay attention to that growth. And you know, we're particularly proud of this graph that shows within 6 months of our launch, we were larger than Healthline's thyroid community. Today, we have around 63,000 highly engaged followers, so we're about 3 times its size now. And yes, we've invested a lot in paid growth, but the organic growth, you know, followed along right there with it. And our page is super targeted. It's 100% women, most over the age of 45. So while it's our job to share content, it's equally important to listen to what comes back. So we asked a lot of questions and we did a lot of listening. And this was fascinating to us because on Verywell itself, we don't have comments. That's due to like some pharma restrictions. So this was a huge insight into what was really going on in our readers' lives. In asking questions like some of like this tile shown here, we used emotion as our entry point for engagement. We kept the tone welcoming to all, supportive, and most importantly, real. By asking the right questions, we empowered the community to share their stories, and we united them as the voices of thyroid disease. And boy, did they start talking. We learned really quickly, and this is a generalization, but I think it's pretty accurate. People with thyroid disease do not like being told how to feel. They are the experts in how they feel. So we thought it best to let them dictate the tone of the page. These user comments, and this is, you know, a real one from a member of the community, we would stylize them into quote tiles to share again, and they're always our most shared posts. Because the shares are so high on this type of content, it's actually comforting to know that perhaps the friends and family of our community members are actually seeing these messages too and maybe understanding how difficult it is. They aren't always the most positive comments either. Sometimes people just really need to vent and not feel judged. And this is a space that allows them to do this. So in each other, our community has found a place where they finally feel a part of something. Our page has become a destination for those who get it. And our page is helping people heal. What's most exciting now is that what we've built can exist beyond our reach. So we're seeing members, and I don't know, you can read through this thread as I'm speaking, but we see members engage with and support one another in a way that is just like really heartwarming. They encourage one another, they lift each other up, they're sending each other friend requests and private messages, and I mean, I like to think that they're also like organizing meetup groups on the side, and I don't know, maybe that's something we can help foster in the future, which I think would be incredible. They're growing real relationships, and they're discovering that they are not alone and that people really do care about how they feel. So here's a quote that sums it up best. I'm just so thankful that I found all of you after feeling alone for so long. I may be ill, but I am not alone, not anymore. So I know what you're thinking. You're like, oh, Emily, this is so sweet. But how do you justify all this feel-good stuff to your company? And that's a great question. I think it helps to work for a place that believes in a mission of really helping people as much as we do. But there is a lot of business value to these communities. The insights that we've gotten from users has helped inform and improve our content. For example, we've found gaps in coverage thanks to user questions around male thyroid disease and have been inspired to help a lot of new content, to write a lot of new content around the connection between thyroid disease and mental health because of some like more alarming comments from members of the community. It's also great for branding. I mean, we brand these as Verywell communities, and these pages strengthen our overall reach in a way that we wouldn't be able to do with just our flagship brand. It inspires new types of community investments and gives us a better sense of like what will and won't work in the future. And you know, there's the revenue side of things. We keep a really close eye on the numbers game here, and to make sure, so we make sure that our cost on our Facebook ads remains low while our traffic numbers remain high enough to justify the investment. We've created a growth model to this effect that we track really closely and share with all key stakeholders. Finally, we found a way for our internal sales team to get really interested in what we were doing. And here's why. The Verywell Real Life With communities are the most highly engaged and fastest growing in their respective spaces. When you share that statement with your sales team, they get really interested in whatever it is you're cooking up over there on the social team. So they're now starting to pitch these communities as part of larger sales packages, which is really exciting. So bear with me a little bit because I do want to brag a bit about some more stuff we're doing. Our Real Life With Thyroid Disease community gets more engagement each week than similar Facebook pages, some that are up to four times our size and have been around for over 10 years. We've been around for like one. Real life with diabetes, it has higher engagement metrics than much larger communities. It gets double the engagement of the American Diabetes Association, and that's 15 times its size. And then we have the real life with breast cancer community, and like I love this one. It has more engagement than Susan G. Komen, the American Cancer Society's Making Strides Against Breast Cancer campaign, and the Breast Cancer Research Foundation combined. And that includes October, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So what does all this mean for you? You're like, please stop talking about everything you do on a day-to-day basis. What can you take away from what we've done and learned from this example? It's hard to stand up here and tell you that doing exactly what we did on social will work for you. It probably won't, it might not, I don't know. It's a really specific example. But of course we all work, and of course we all work in different industries with very different audiences. And trying to predict what Facebook might reward you with is what makes this game so challenging. But I believe there are some lessons that we can all adapt and use to inspire our social strategies. I think the biggest overarching takeaway is to think differently. Take what you think you should be doing and ask yourself why. Is it really making an impact for your business? More importantly, is it making a difference in the lives of your users? So for one, stop chasing Facebook. You can't build a business by catering to Facebook's every move. I'm not suggesting that you stop using it altogether, because I think that would get me in a lot of trouble, like at a social media conference. But I am suggesting that you start to cherry pick the tools that you choose to use and the way that you use them. For example, like if Facebook Lives are really annoying to make and they are not giving you substantial value in return, stop doing them. Like, who cares? With the new algorithm changes for the newsfeed fast approaching, Facebook's giving the power back to the people, so we really need to listen to the people. The next I would say is be authentic. We've heard this discussed in so many sessions this week. The best way to build trust is to make your brand as human as possible. So show personality, have fun, be human. The next takeaway is to just take a closer look at your audience. Chances are you're gonna find multiple audiences packed in there. Ask yourself, who are the audiences you have? Who do you want? And are they the same? If they're not, it's time to reevaluate if you're serving the people you actually have or if you're chasing after the people you want. And remember, a truly engaged niche audience can sometimes be more valuable than a more general passive one. Number four, this one seems obvious, but like care about your audience. Remind yourself this with everything that you share. Challenge them with higher quality content. Think about how it can impact their lives for the better and craft your messages around that. And then listen, again, listen. Is your audience responding the way you thought they would? Constantly ask yourself if your objectives are actually matching up with the results. And finally, and this one's more important than ever, create content that is meaningful and matters to people. Why are you sharing what you're sharing? What difference can it make to an individual? So if we circle back to that Zuckerberg quote from the beginning, we have to think like that. How can our brands and businesses and services connect others and improve their lives? This is where Facebook is heading. The research shows that when we use social media to connect with people about things we care about, it can be good for our well-being. We can feel more connected and less lonely, and that correlates with long-term measures of happiness and health. At Verywell, we're working hard to create brands that do just that and connect humans with one another. So we feel fairly confident that the Facebook gods will hopefully be kind to us as the new algorithm rolls out, but what happens next is still anyone's guess. The biggest thing I think to remember is that brands that can offer more personalized value to people's lives are gonna have the most success now. So back to our tagline. This continues to be our guiding principle. How can we use the tools we're given to bring more good to people and make them feel better? We have every reason to believe our communities will continue to grow in this ever-changing landscape because we're keeping the human interest at the heart of our efforts. So after building all this, I have a hard time believing that social media is really that bad for us, because I see the opposite every day. Our communities tell us they feel less alone, comforted, understood, more aware, supported, more empowered, more connected, and they feel better. And that's worth more than any viral views or millions of followers. As a brand, if we can carve out even a small corner of the Facebook world that really teaches you something and makes you feel happier and healthier than you did before you arrived, then we have fulfilled our brand promise. Thank you. If any of you have questions, I'm happy to answer them. You can also just like all sit around one table and chat. That's probably fine too.
So if you do have questions, I'm going to ask you to wait for the microphone just so we can get them on, get them recorded. Question I have, Emily, is since you were basically starting from scratch and testing in on those pages, how long did that take and how long were you running like each individual test?
The build-up part of actually building, you know, the communities, it took a couple months because each test, you know, where we tested each variable separately was about a week. We really wanted to see like true results. So if you think we did, you know, four tests, it's going to be at least a month, 2 months before we really like are off the ground and like sharing this publicly to the world. But the whole time the tests are running, we're running them against the same audience that we're going after. So we're building the page slowly. But the jump off point, I would say, was probably like 2 to 3 months in is when we started to see like actual, you know, growth, because that's when all the elements came together.
Right. So with the changes that Facebook is making, do you foresee another round of testing to try and see what impact those are having on the communities and how all those variables that you thought you had nailed at least like 9-10 months maybe change?
And then we might have to redo it all? Yeah, we're pretty prepared to like have to shift gears and rethink things. I think the part that we feel really confident on is that our content that we share on these types of pages, these communities, is gonna continue to be shown in the newsfeed of the people that have shown how loyal they are to this page, how engaged they are. I don't think we're gonna suddenly be like hidden from the feed. In terms of ads, I do wonder like how that will be affected. Once we kind of create these like winning audience acquisition ads, we sort of let them run. We keep an eye on how they're performing. You know, we sometimes see different jumps in the cost depending on what time of year it is. But yeah, we may have to shift gears with that, like anything. I feel like working in social, you just have to be super flexible and like ready to pivot at all times.
Hello, I'm also kind of in the health industry.
Awesome.
I sell health insurance. So we kind of lean into the lifestyle and health kind of posts. And I wanted to ask you, what kind of content do you feel performs better? Do you feel people react to better? Do you think graphics? I see you have a nice branded graphic feel you have going on,
yeah.
Or stock photos, which we kind of roll our eyes at, or the more taken on my iPhone kind of content. What do people react to?
Yeah, so in these communities, the reason we've like doubled down on all those quote tiles questions that we see, we see the most engagement around them. So we really include a lot of, they're like our version of a very high quality meme that's gonna get people chatting and talking, but.
And user generated.
And user generated in some cases. You know, other cases, it's us coming up with, you know, just like an inspirational type of quote. So people love those because they're engaging around them, they're sharing it. In these communities specifically, I would say like they really want content that is just going to help them solve like the problem that they face on a day-to-day basis. You know, I gave the example of like content around medication. Like they just want to make sure they're doing it right. They, you know, should I take it in the morning or at night? Am I allowed to drink coffee with it? Like those questions that their doctors may not be able to always answer for them, and I think in many ways, the comments that follow those types of articles also help offer like an expert opinion from the people who are actually experiencing the issues. What other content performs well? I think anything that just makes them feel a part of something. So like any, we have a lot of content around, you know, more like 5 things thyroid patients should never do, or like 10 questions you need to ask your doctor, that sort of thing, where like it's very personalized. It's for them. It's like a takeaway they can, you know, bring home and take right to their doctors.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Other questions? Have you seen Susan G. Komen or American Diabetes Association or any of these others start to go to school on what you're doing and modify their presence and how they're approaching things?
Not that I've really noticed. And, you know, it's different, right? Because we're a publisher. They're the, you know, competitors I'm comparing ourselves to are mostly nonprofits, but they're the biggest voices in that space. Right. I don't think I have personally noticed that, oh, wow, they see what real life with diabetes is doing. We better shift gears. I don't think so, and I'm sort of happy to like sneak up on them and just, you know, become a space that people want to hang out at and want to spend time with, because we serve different purposes, right? We're kind of giving them more of the day-to-day information. The organizations might be a bit more news-focused or, you know, more research-based. So.
You have 3 groups in place now? Are there more than that? And how big or how far do you see that going?
Yeah. So these are our biggest, and this is where we're placing the most investment. So these are the 3 that fall under kind of the condition spectrum. I think when we continue to invest in new communities, we're going to be doing so in conditions. And we have kind of a number in the pipeline of that fall into the right bucket of like, it's a sort of a confusing condition to have. People feel isolated. Like, it sort of has to fall into this, like, nice little realm of, like, where we can actually provide the most support. But this is not our only one. We do have a community around, like, pregnancy and early motherhood called the Stay Calm Mom. That's a really fun page. Those moms are highly engaged in a very different way because they're constantly, like, bickering with each other. Mom shaming is real. We have another parenting page called Healthy Little Monsters. that's for, you know, a little bit more discipline focused on toddlers and school age kids. And we also tried other ones. We had like a healthy eating page we called Very Well Fed, and had really high hopes for it, but it wasn't targeted enough. When you think of like healthy eating, it wasn't niche enough. If we maybe started like a gluten-free page, perhaps that would be more valuable. So, you know, in growing all these, we've tested, you know, a lot of different strategies, and some have worked and some have not. But it's the condition spaces that feel the richest, that feel like they're truly helping people on a day-to-day basis. So that's where we have chosen to invest more, and I think we'll continue in the future.
Hi. I guess my major question is, how much do you moderate the content? You were mentioning that they were bickering and stuff. Do you get into it? Do you shut down the threads when they go too crazy?
Yeah. Sometimes, I mean, yeah, we have had to hide some things. This is, like, just speaking on the mom page. We've had to hide some stuff. But honestly, like, they kind of come at each other and, like, moderate one another. So yes, while there's a little bit of arguing, there's also the like awareness of like, hey, we're all here for the same reason. Like, being a mom is hard. Let's not make it harder on one another. But yeah, we pay attention and we do like, we moderate a little bit. But as these pages get bigger and bigger, it becomes a bit of a challenge to, yeah, keep an eye on everything that's going on. And still maintain, like, we don't want people's comments to completely change the tone of our page. I mean, it's called the Stay Calm Mom. Like, we're not taking ourselves too seriously. We're sharing like great informative information, but it's like, just relax. Like, you don't have to worry about every little thing. Your kids are gonna grow up and they're gonna be healthy little monsters. So, so yeah, we don't want their comments to kind of like change the tone. That's a good question.
Any other questions? We're just going to end on Healthy Little Monsters? That may be a good it's for such Thursday a, afternoon. That may be an okay place.
It's such a great name. Yeah.
Let's everybody give a round of applause to Emily. Thank you so much, Emily.
Thanks.